listen, think, learn, grow. Listen, think, learn, grow.
This is the Spirit of Life Metaphysics Radio Program, exploring science and spirituality with Dr. Michael Kelly and Dr. Vicki
Hunter. Good evening
and
welcome to the Spirit of Life Program for Wednesday, May 24th. My name is Michael Kelly and I'm here with Dr. Vicki Hunter.
Well, good evening, Michael. As always, I'm glad to be here.
Welcome to those joining us live, and thank you for taking the time out of your week to catch up with us. Thank you for your contributions. We always look forward to seeing you, and we just appreciate you. Thanks to those that catch up with us in the archives as well. Spirit of Life is a weekly service and educational program of the International Church of Metaphysical Humanism. Our mission is to explore and empower the human spirit, as well as to explore science and spirituality. In addition to this broadcast, ICMH offers other educational programs that can be found at metaphysicsinstitute.org and tfuniversity.org. We'll begin tonight with our 9 abbreviated principles of belief. Those are 1. Do no harm, do right. 2. We believe in the indomitable power of the human spirit. The answers we seek already exist within us. 3. We believe that we alone are responsible for and capable of solving human social problems. 4. We are all equal. One planet, one race, one ancestry, one destiny. 5. We recognize and honor the divine energy that exists in all things. 6. We are physical and spiritual beings. Consciousness survives death of the physical body. 7. Self-acceptance, self-responsibility, and respect for free will create self-completeness. 8. Metaphysical education and practical life skills empower the human spirit and enhance the human condition. And finally, 9. Expanding human consciousness leads to human evolution and peaceful coexistence. Tonight's topic, you are what you think. And, you know, I think this is going to be a very interesting discussion from a lot of different angles. But, you know, the way that I think we're going to start with it is the thoughts that we have really form the basis of the behaviors and actions we take. For example, during the introduction in the 9 principles, I had an incredible urge to have a hiccup. But I thought about not doing it, and I thought I'm not going to do it, and I persevered.
That's funny. You will not hiccup. You know, this is a topic that can go in so many different directions. You are what you think. And we can even start by, you know, childhood stuff. You know, everybody's heard that. Well, that's the way I was raised, and nothing I can do about it. Well, if that's what you think, then that's what you think about yourself, you know? Everything is changeable. And if you think it's changeable, then it's changeable. So it's what you think. Mm-hmm. Now, I think we have to, you know, preface by saying each of us is built in a certain way. We have our own distinct nature, you know, characteristics, mm-hmm. you know, that are innate in ourselves. And if we have certain, like, for instance, I'm a borderline dyslexic. As soon as I notice that, noted it, I can work with it, and I, you know how to work with that kind of processing in myself, but I don't see it as a disability. I actually see it in many ways as an advantage. So it's what you think of it, you know, mm-hmm. what you think of it is what you become, and so that perspective. But then we can also kind of do a broad stroke in the macrocosm of, you know, what we see in the media. That's you were mentioning before the program, Michael. You know, if you believe everything you read, you become that mm-hmm. in some way.
Well, and also, you know, that is going to be a big part of this, because the news media is, you know, it's not this evil amorphous thing, you know, but it often is something that pursues sensationalism, clicks, eyeballs on the screen, you know, people yeah. buying a magazine or newspaper, and that's not to say that don't believe anything you hear, but it is important to remember that this is but a slice of the reality that we share on this planet. It is something that kind of can skew our perceptions of what is real. I can tell you that in the United States, Violent crime as a, you know, as a whole has gone down. I know mass shootings are still a massive problem, but as a whole, as a percentage per 100,000 people, violent crimes and violent attacks have gone down in the preceding 40 and 50 years. However, coverage and reporting of those very same events have skyrocketed, and this also includes kidnappings, things like that. Those, all of that has come down, but you wouldn't know it. And I think that often can create a false narrative, and I think also if people get stuck in a bubble, they keep getting these constant, you know, reaffirmations. They're thinking about the same thing, and it just keeps getting reinforced and reinforced, and that becomes a large part of their identity, and that's unfortunate.
Well, when whether it's a philosophical take, a religious take, a political take, you know, if we identify... Sorry?
It runs the gamut.
Exactly. It's then you take on that identity. You know, reality is a very subjective thing. I know I've told this story before, but I'll tell it again. When my kids were very young, I happened to run out of pancake syrup. So I made some homemade pancake syrup. And for those who don't know, you know, a little brown sugar, cornstarch, water, you know, a little vanilla, and a dash of salt.
Mm.
You boil that up, and you now have pancake syrup.
And I'm pretty well read, and I'm pretty sure that in Canada you take a, you know, faucet or spigot or something out to a tree and, you know, throw it in there and it just comes out.
That's maple syrup. That's raw maple syrup. Sure, but you can make homemade pancake syrup. So my kids said to me, well, hey, Mom, this is pretty good. Did you get the recipe from the bottle? And I had a moment of, another take on what is a subjective reality. And even now, fast forward, you know, we have, even my granddaughter was shocked when we were telling her a couple of weeks ago that the internet has only been around for 30 years. She goes, what? You didn't have this as a kid? So it's that reality, and you become part of that, and you identify with that. So what you think is what you become. And it becomes kind of a micro view of the world and what you believe in and how you conduct your life. Mm-hmm. I mean, you can hear about, you know, starving people, you know, in that part of the world, or those people at a war. But if it's not part of your reality, it's just part of the news headline. You know,
it's, so, I think, the difference between intellectually knowing something and kind of feeling it and knowing it on an emotional level, you know, it being part of your reality. I mean, we know it's different than fiction, but we can be moved by it. We can have emotions by it, but it doesn't have the same feel to it. There's a, you know, there's just some ineffable quality that you can't put on it, you know, you can't pin down. Talking about, you know, this revelation that the internet's only been around for 30 years, it's a little off topic, but it makes me think about some of the popular videos that have gone around lately with, you know, a Generation Z or younger person on TikTok usually. That, and I don't know if it's staged or if it's real, but there's been a couple of them that come to mind. One person was saying, wouldn't it be great if we just had, you know, one phone that was for the whole family that just stayed at the house? You know, okay, that's a landline. that's been around forever and still is in some places.
I know.
And another challenge was, you know, writing without lifting your pen off the paper. And these things have been around, but in their world it's not. So, you know, a little funny example, a bit of cultural comparison, you know, not cultural, but generational comparison, but largely in how, in the patterns of your thought and what you choose to focus your energy on has a big impact on who you become.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I think often about, it's a fairly well-known story of the, you know, Cherokee indigenous tribe, or, you know, becoming more fond of this term, First Nations, but it's an old story about a chief that talks with his grandson, telling him that within every human being there is a good wolf representing all that is, you know, just and reason and kindness and empathy, a bad wolf, hate, anger, jealousy, and all these different things. And the boy asks, which one will win? And as many of you probably heard, The chief answers whichever one you feed.
Mm-hmm.
And that is a big, that's very true. There is, a lot of times you hear something, a parable, a story, and it just has an innate truth to it. So what we focus on, what we choose to think about, is, it shapes who we become. And then it becomes, it becomes repeating. It becomes a pattern of behavior. It becomes something that you will automatically do. The, you know, pathways of thinking of it like that are more entrenched. And
So if you think more about your fears,
mm-hmm.
than your desires, you're only going to feed the fears.
Exactly. If you...
Insecurity is the same thing. Rather than mm-hmm. your strength, if you... You know, if you only think about your insecurities, then that's what you're feeding, and that's what you think you are.
Mm-hmm.
So,
you know, that's exactly right. I mean, it's if you focus on the hate, if you focus on the anger, that is just going to blossom, and you'll become, there's a toxicity to that. And
I think that we have to also look at, our interactions with others and mm-hmm. how other people tend to influence us, whether we believe that, whether we accept that or not, or more to the point, and it can be just a brushstroke of a comment that it kind of filters into our unconscious, and we have to be cautious of those negatives, especially when you're young, and because you're just a sponge, taking in, and here's an example. When I was in high school, I loved art, and I loved sculpting clay, and I did stuff, but I only ever got a 60 mark. And I thought, wow, it's just, I'm not very good at art. So I actually stopped it for, a few years. And after a couple of kids were born, I just wanted to do art, so I started doing art again. And then I ran into an old schoolmate who told me that our art teacher believed that art was subjective and thought nobody deserves 100% of anything in art, and 60% was the highest mark he ever gave anybody. I had no idea. But it changed my whole perception of what I was thinking of myself, of being good or not good. Now, look, I know what I'm good at, and I know what I'm not good at, but as soon as I start comparing myself to other people, I'm going to fail. I'm going to fail in my own mind and not want to do that. There's some things I won't attempt to do in the arts because it's not my gig. I know I'm not going to be good at that. But there's other things. I just want to try it.
Well, and I'd say art, good is subjective. And to create art is not simply for somebody else to appreciate it. It's also for the artist to express. There's something, inherently beneficial just in the act of creation. So,
when my second daughter, I think she was in grade 7 or 8 or something, and came home, and she was so happy that she got an A in art, and I said, well, that's nice. Well, don't you think that's great? I said, it's an opinion. If somebody told you you weren't good at dancing, which you love to do, would you stop dancing? Now, mm-hmm. if you tell me you got 100% in math, we got something to celebrate. But this is a subjective thing rather than, critical thinking, intellectual, how you applied yourself, other areas that you got 100 out of 100 on a math test. So, I started, implementing that thought process in my kids at a very young age, is what's an opinion versus a fact and how that affects you.
Mm-hmm.
And affects how you develop and you grow. And I know we've talked about some of this in previous shows, but it's in the application of self and what you believe in yourself and what you're capable of. And if you have a perfectionism kind of issue going on, if you even, it's like you don't want to even try anything until you know you're really good at it.
Mm-hmm.
There are a lot of people like that.
Oh, yeah.
Then you never appreciate to experiment in the world, and it's to encourage yourself to even give an effort to investigate or be experiential, because it's but again, you have to really look at yourself and be have your own critical thinking about how you are. And certainly I talk about myself, is how am I, what holds me back from this or what holds me back from that? Is this an old seed that was planted in my my growing years, conditioning, or is this something? But, you know, even from a very young age, I had not a reputation, I questioned everything. Where, like, who said that? Who decided that?
Mm-hmm.
You know, they tell you that to believe in this. I said, who decided that? Like, where did it start? Why do people believe that? Who started it? See, and that was always my thing of, if it's not a fact, it's an opinion. So, well, even when somebody says, you know, this is the history of, you know, Columbus coming to America, I said, who said that? Who decided that? Because we well know, contrary to what a lot of people still want to believe, Columbus was not the first to North America. So, you know, 1492, I think not.
Mm-hmm.
You can go back, you know, hundreds of years before that when there was contact with Europe and other nations. So it's what you believe. So if you take that on, you don't want to move your mind. And you believe yourself to be a participant in a certain reality. And I think that's a very limited place to be, in my mind. But,
well, you know, a couple of things come to mind that I want to touch on. The first is, this is something that I kind of wanted to get into as well. And, you know, what I'll segue into is, you know, why were you somebody that questioned everything? You know, why was it that you know, pushed back and other people don't? Dr. Mike in the chat has talked about external circumstances, societal factors, which you were just talking about, genetic predispositions, personal relationships, of course, is part of that cultural thing, is a lot of who we become. And I think let's talk a little bit about the genetic predispositions, because, you know, some of us are, you know, predisposed by who our parents were, or, you know, different ancestors, towards different, you know, behavioral tics, different, you know, you could look at all of the, you know, kind of characteristics on a board, and, you know, certain people have higher percentages of one, lower at another, etc. But I think we, as conscious beings with free will, we do shape how it goes beyond that. It's always a balance, you know, as I always say, a balance in all things. So, of course, this is nature and nurture debate. And as we all know, the truth is it's a mix of both. But when we have, you know, if you're somebody that's predisposed to anger or predisposed to, you know, negative thoughts kind of more than another, because we have free will, we can work on changing that pattern of beliefs through repetition and focused thought and, you know, choosing what to think about. So, you know, it's a push and pull. It's a give and take, but, you know. And the other thing that I want to touch on that kind of ties into that is, you know, what we think about, you know, the information sources we take in and what we perceive to be true will dictate the menu of options on our free will menu, right? So, focusing on, for example, a dogmatic religion, you know, delving into that, making, you know, focusing all of your thoughts on that, and believing it to be fact, that will, it has a dramatic effect on what you can conceive to be possible, or, you know, in life, or a path for you. And I think we have to, you know, we do have to push back, we do have to question, and if that's not a natural inclination, then hopefully you have some kind of catalyst or external mentor or teacher that can make you question things. So I think it's give and take, and those are just kind of a couple of things I want to talk about.
Dr. Ion has, in past chats, shared things about, you know, her life, and her and I do connect on certain levels. She said, yes, our circumstances and genetics may predict physical or personal attributes. It is our perception of who we are that really matters. And she had once asked her mother if her mother thought she was pretty, and her mother said no. And she said it took her many years to stop believing that. Now, I understand completely how you can take on that kind of belief system from somebody you look up to, someone who obviously gave you life. But really, if we have somebody else in our life who can influence us with critical thinking, And I did have I came across a couple of wonderful people in my life that I think saved my mind from myself of dark places, I say, whose mother does that? Like, who says that kind of thing to another human being? Yeah. There's a cruelty to anybody who would look at somebody, if you say, you think I look pretty? And somebody says, no. I mean, there's an edge of cruelty there.
Yeah. There's animosity. There's anger and probably envy, too.
Competition and regretfulness or, you know, whatever is going on in their life.
Yeah.
That has nothing to do with the recipient. But we don't know that, you know, when we're young and trying to figure out where we belong. And that's a great part of our identity and who we think we are in that belonging, kind of what, you know, along with what you were saying, Michael. So that's what Dr. Ione is saying there is a very good example of those little, I call them slivers, you know, of belief systems that we take on. And, you know, I think I've said this before too. I recently talked with an old chum, school chum, who, you know, is trying to figure out life. We're getting to end of life, and he wants to go back to Jehovah's Witnesses because he thinks that's where, you know, the answers are. Mm-hmm. And it is if you believe that. But trying to find your identity and your mortality, you know, we tend to grasp onto things that we know rather than investigate things we don't know.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And that's, again, that cognitive dissonance, right?
Well, absolutely. And, you know, a lot of people, they want easy answers. They don't want to just have to accept that I don't know. And they can't stand it. And I get it.
Yep.
You know, I've had my fair share of existential crisis, but depending on, you know, what reality is and nihilism, etc.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, doing something worthwhile is usually never easy. So taking the easy path is usually not the best.
You know, I think there's a bridge in our evolution. Again, I'm talking about our individual evolution of, you know, and especially in an early part of life where, you know, you're trying to figure yourself out and realizing maybe there's some things I need counseling for, or some things I might need therapy for, or I need to work this out, become a better human being. Ego and pride are our greatest elements for survival. To me, kind of wound up in that spiritual drive, of, you know, that's connected to our humanness that makes us survive really grueling, difficult, challenging events. But when you're faced with, oh, I have to change, you know, I have to look at myself and my life a different way, we hold on. And we're holding on for dear life thinking, oh my God, I'm going to die if I change. You know, I can't change. But when you cross that into that next phase of, oh, I can change and I can be less attached to who I thought I was, and one day you find yourself welcoming change and looking back and saying, oh, you know, I know that old me didn't know any better. There's some things about her that weren't necessarily likable. She didn't intend to hurt anybody.
Right.
It's just, yeah, that behavior wasn't really cool thing. And now, and then again, so there's this, again, in that evolution of kind of, you know, traveling the circle of yourself. And it would, so we have these survivor life skills that can actually hinder us when we don't need those skills anymore.
Yep.
They don't need to be implemented. So we can think of ourselves in a new way. And what I've, you know, had to say to myself and I say to others, that you have the skills because you're still here. And if you ever need them again, you can call on them.
Yeah.
You know, when I was working at the hospital as a patient ambassador, and, I mean, there was restrictions in the hospital, wear a mask, vaccination, so, oh, my God, the angry people. And I could stand up to that and realize, oh, the old street kid in me is still alive and well. I had no idea.
Like, not afraid of a little rough and tumble.
No. See, I haven't had to call on it for so long, and I mean that in years and years. But I could stand up to somebody and say, no. you're not going. And people freaking out, you call security. And I'm really calm about it at this point. Adrenaline doesn't go up, but I could feel that strength in me. I say, oh, I know where she comes from. See, it's still a part of me if I need it.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, that's, again, in the evolution. So the ego, the pride, the fierceness, the warrior, all those things in you that brought you into surviving life's challenges are always going to be there for you. You just don't need to wear them every day.
Yeah.
In that way. So if you can know that, then you can calm and say and be open-minded about, well, who do I really think I am? You know, because trust me, no matter what you think of yourself, somebody else is going to have a different opinion of it.
Mm,
and
no
they
doubt.
Don't really know you at all.
So. And I think, you know, that is absolutely true. A big part of, you know, we are what we think is a lot of what we... The opinions that we choose to internalize, that we choose to take to heart. I'd like to share just a comment from chat after, you know, Dr. Ione's story. And we were talking about her when she asked her mother if she was pretty, and she said no. Wendy had chimed in. She said she meant you're not pretty, you're beautiful.
Oh.
And I think that is a perfect example of don't focus on the people that try to tear you down. Focus on the people that are there for you and are reinforcing and supporting you. And you will find that if you focus on those people that bring warmth and love into your life, the world will have a bit rosier of a tint. Not that there aren't bad things that can happen, but it will make it better. And it is good to know that we all have each other and that we have our communities in life. We have our support structures. We are one among many, and that is a wonderful thing.
Well, and Dr. Mike has added in the chat, by cultivating positive and constructive thinking patterns, we can strive for personal growth, improved well-being, and a more fulfilling life. You know, that was like succinct and right to the point.
Very well said. Very well written.
Absolutely.
And absolutely true, because this is the other thing that was on my mind, and I think I touched on it earlier, but we are kind of born into these different patterns, both with genetics and the dysfunctional patterns that we pick up from those around us, largely our parents often. But through focused intent, you can change that pattern, and it gets better. I love it.
Yeah, absolutely. It's you are what you think. Whatever you're obsessing about becomes your energy, and that's what you're producing. And further to that, we could take this conversation in so many directions. It's
because,
like, if you're really hungry for a relationship, you're going to exude this neediness and this desperation. You know those old adages of when you finally give up, something happens? It's usually true, because you're not, you know, giving off this aura of, you know, I want somebody.
Yeah,
you know?
Exactly. And, you know, it's it is always a balance between our intent and the external forces of reality. You know, I have thought a lot about being a Jedi, and yet I still don't have force powers. It's BS. But also, there are times where, you know, thinking is an odd thing. A lot of times things will pop in your head. Your brain will go on a tangent or something like that. But just remember, you can self-correct. If it's negative, you can self-correct. But
backspace and delete. Easy
I love
enough.
It. I like it. Well, it's come to that time of the evening.
It is. It is. You know, one thing I as a footnote to what we've been talking about, something that I had said to my kids one day. I think my oldest was about 22 at the time, and sat them down. I said, you know, that stuff I taught you about this and philosophical approach to that, and they said, oh yeah. I said, backspace and delete. It's all garbage. I changed my mind. And my daughter says, you can't do that. I built my whole identity around that. And I said, go for therapy. I'm just sharing with you what I'm learning as I go.
You know,
and, you know, integrate it as you will. But if you've got a mother issue, go to therapy.
You know, when I, if and when I become a parent, I'm looking forward to my most commonly used phrase being, sucks to be you. But
no, you only get to say that when you're a grandparent. you know, when they, you know, when I see people, and even my kids at one point, you know, Googling for information, I say, wow, you must have had a really crappy childhood.
Hey, don't knock Googling for information. I've won many an argument doing that.
Well, I am talking about even simple things like gardening. Well, we could have had a conversation. You could have asked me, but no, they got to Google everything. Anyway, yes, we're going to get on here. Dr. Ione is first. For those who are new to us, Inner Oracle Self-Discovery Cards by Dr. Douglas Kelly that Michael is going to pull. And I pull a tarot card as support, and we'll see what we come up with.
All right. And Dr. Ione, let's see, first pull of the night. Wild card number 7, hope. Hope lives deep within and inspires the human spirit to continue and expand. Hope, in and of itself, does not create life. Rather, hope desires life. Hope is the root of curiosity, interest, invention, and yearning for more. Even when all feels lost and futile, hope is resurrected by a change of beliefs and core values. Safeguard your hope, for it is the first and last failsafe to your existence. Do not promote false hope, nor encourage codependent hope.
Well, what I like about the 8 of Clubs in support of that, Ione, you know, when things are going pretty good and everything you kind of started to hope for is, you know, going well, don't stop there because there's more behind it. So that 8 of Clubs is fast energy. So, you know, we only dream what we know. And when things have gone beyond what our knowing, we think we kind of stop it there. You know, well, that's as good as it gets, or that's as much as I could hope for. And I'm saying, think bigger, more. Let the energy ride and take you where you need to be. That's what I say. It's awesome.
All right. Good card. Dr. Mike, wild card for you. Wild card number 3, blocks. There is a time for movement and a time to sit still. What may seem like blocks could be an opportunity to reevaluate while allowing the universe to open new doorways. At times, we simply need to get out of our own way in order for events to unfold as they should. It can feel like free-falling when a leap of faith is required. If blocks continue, maybe a time for a new direction. Do not dismay. Blockages serve purposes. Diligence and insight is required, and remain open.
Well, the 2 of Diamonds is about balancing. It's a balance act. You know, that 2 is energy is moving, but kind of balancing it. Now, blocks with the 2 of Diamonds is patience, basically. Patience for things to, like in these layers of life, as we think nothing's happening, but there's lots happening. And when we think lots is happening, at some place there's nothing happening. So it's like kind of riding the wave for the moment. Mm-hmm. And just knowing that there's... I get this feeling, Mike, that things are about to whoosh, you know, like, and this rebirthing thing that you're entering. It's right now. It's just all kind of flowing, you know. And so I'm just riding along the wave.
All right. And Wendy put in that Dr. Mike had this card on May 10th, not that long ago.
Oh.
All right. Interesting. We have Jerry up next. And for you, I have number 1, perfection. Always remember that you are perfect just as you are, a perfect work in progress, always changing and growing. Today is a reflection of past choices, and tomorrow is changeable by choices made today. This card may indicate that a situation is either perfect or not perfect for you. Embrace all mistakes, as they are vital to your growth while striving for a better future. Reflect to see what contributes to your perfect journey and move forward gracefully.
Well, the 7 of Diamonds, or 7 of Pentacles, is, I always see it kind of as a harvest card in a way. It's like the end of hard work, and you get to start to see the fruits of it. But it's that being happy at the moment that the hardest part of the work is done. And now you're kind of just adding to the information as you begin to harvest what you have been putting into things, what you've invested. So I think that in some way you may think you have not arrived, but you have, Jerry, is what I'm trying to tell you. It's like you're getting it, and you've got it. And, sometimes we can clip the plants back too far, and sometimes we're not clipping them enough, and yet the plant is still the plant, and it's growing. So just go along with it. It's perfect. It's a perfect life in motion, so to speak. So.
All right. We have Dr. Edward next. And for you, I have number 32, sympathy and empathy. Mercy is compassion in action and fulfills a kind act of paying it forward. Sympathy, or sensitivity for another's plight, and empathy, relating to another's plight, each requires a need, compassion, and action to fulfill a soul's need to explore, investigate, and educate. Always extend the benefit of the doubt until there is no longer a reason to do so.
Well, the page of hearts. You know, the distinction of sympathy, empathy is one of my favorite considerations in life. Because sympathy likes to be inert, and empathy is action, you know, and knowing that distinction. The page of hearts in this is, and I'm getting more about it for yourself and what you're giving to yourself, Edward, being human and being empathetic toward yourself in the journey, and not so much sympathetic that lends us into any kind of, and I'm not accusing or pointing a finger, but, you know, self-pity of those moments. Soon we can all have the moments, like, why is this happening to me? But the empathy and understanding that we have to give to ourselves that we are human, you know, and we're each on our own ride. So it's, you're communicating that better with yourself. And I also think as a page card, which is communicator, you're being able to articulate it just a little better to others. So you're in a kind of a rite of passage, in an evolution of sorts. That's a good one.
All right. And I believe that we have Santana next.
We do.
And I have number 18, evolution. Evolution is the driving force of all life. Change is always afoot. Be aware and participate in the evolution of present energies that change situations. Resistance to change is born from fear of losing control. Resistance to change prolongs discomfort. But fear not. Personal growth and enlightenment are sure to result in the wake of your own evolution and that of life around you. Thus, entropy is lowered.
Six of hearts. Now, Six of Hearts is always about community, family, connections, and that could be extended family. And in this case, Santana, in your evolution, you may be giving greater consideration to the people in your life. And, you know, fairness, equitability, who's real, who's not real, and actually beginning to feel connected to people who are more on your wave. And I don't mean they have to be studying metaphysics, but who are good and kind. And that's kind of how I approach with people. I don't really care if they're what they believe in or how they live their lives, as long as they're good and kind and they have good hearts. You know, that to me is the measure of an individual. And in this case, it's, you're surrounding yourself at this time in your life better with kinder people and supportive people. And that's kudos to you for having done the work. And maybe there's still a few weeds to pull, but you don't have to have them over for Sunday dinner. That's the way that goes.
Nope. Well said. All right. And we have Dr. Jeff next for you. I have number 39, education. Continual education is the key to individual and collective consciousness and personal success. Commit yourself to lifelong learning, educating yourself continually. If you don't know something, first look for the answers yourself, then ask if necessary. Gain education and advice through various sources, including people, but always strive to find your own answers. Look for lessons in life experience, situations, and circumstances. Make it your adage to listen, think, learn, grow, and live.
Ah, when you've got the Four of Hearts, the Four of Cups, Jeff, through research comes a great opportunity, and in a very unsuspecting way. So, and from a source you hadn't thought of, a source you hadn't expected from, so continue to connect with people, continue to investigate, continue to learn, ask the questions, and you're gonna, something is just going to drop in your lap. Ooh, I get chills, Michael. That's awesome.
I love it.
Yeah.
All right. We have our card keeper, Wendy, next. And Wendy had also just pointed out in chat that Santana had the same card on May 10th, just like
wow.
Dr. Mike had a repeat on from May 10th. So first time we've had two repeats from the same day. Very interesting. All right. Wendy, I have wild card number 5, Don't Hate. And I know how hateful Wendy is, so this really applies. I kid, of course. A low-energy signature refuses to learn more in order to better accept and understand others. Hate grows in this low frequency. The result is fear, demonstrated as the need to criticize and control others. This is how wars begin, whether it's in relationships, within families, or between countries. Understanding does not mean one has to agree. It means rising above the low frequency to do no harm, do right. To the self and others.
Ooh, okay. Got a little challenge here, Michael.
Mm.
Wendy, I pulled the Page of Swords. So when the don't hate thing, Page of Swords, it could be some sharp words, challenge with somebody, a confrontation in some way. So I had to say to the tarot, what do you mean? and so I pulled the second card. And it's the Five of Spades. So, this is what I want to say. There are times when we do have to raise our voice, and we do have to be firm. Mm-hmm. And I think you have a situation here, Wendy, where you come at it from kind of, again, as what I had said about my experience working at the hospital. You know, you can say no, put your hand up and say no. And
it's pretty fun,
have
too.
That without your adrenaline going. Without coming from a negative place, it's just these are the rules and that's what's going to happen. So in a confrontation, not to get angry, and again, the root of, you know, any kind of fear or hate or anything is fear. It's just be in that calm place of knowing and you will overcome this challenge and basically you win. That Five of Spades is, you know, having won through, having gone through a challenge. So, if it's not something you've experienced, let's say today or yesterday, it could be, as I'm feeling, right around the corner. So don't hesitate to, you know, put your hand up, say to somebody, no, not going to happen.
I like
so it. It's one of those rare cases where, there's a challenge.
Mm-hmm. Yep. All right. Very good. Very good.
I might remind everybody that
yeah.
June 7th, Wendy's going to come on the program with us.
You know, you got to really quit reading my mind. It's getting eerie. You know, my thoughts are private, Dr. Vicky.
You know, for those who don't know, Michael and I often, you know, when we talk off air, we do often think the same things at the same time. And we have a good connection that way. And the longer we've done the program together and the longer we've known each other, it seems that it's more obvious.
it's a good thing.
It is. Absolutely.
But so very much looking forward to that on June 7th. And I don't know that we have a topic yet for next week on the 31st, but it's going to be something profound, earth-shattering and provocative.
You know, I'd like to talk about UFOs if we can.
Sure.
Michael. I have been following the MUFON page on Facebook, and you know a number of other. And there's been, you know, maybe Dr. Mike, we can save this. Maybe Dr. Mike would come on the program with us in the next few weeks and we can save the UFO topic. Hmm. But what I'm noticing is better footage of anomalies in the sky that I have to even say I've seen that before.
Yeah.
You know, and it's more frequent and just in my view. Now, I could be all wrong about that. Maybe it's just because I'm noticing it more. Entirely possible. But, you know, something I'd like to talk about in the near future.
I think that's a good idea. Yeah, if not next week, definitely in the future. And Dr. Mike, you know, if we can, you know, call you out right in front of everybody and see if you want to join us, you know.
Well, he's our MUFON guy.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. But, yeah, so, you know, we'll play it by ear a little bit. I'm definitely going to have that topic coming up. I think we can probably, I was just thinking to myself, you know, if not next week, what will we do next week? I don't know, interdimensional beings or interdimensional life, a little bit too associated, kind of do it in the same UFO talk.
Oh, let's do that. I have stories on that.
Ooh, stories.
And I know I've talked to so many people over the years who have, you know, claimed to me to be visited and their experiences. I got stories, Michael.
All right.
Let's do it.
So next week, interdimensional life, interdimensional planes, interdimensional existence.
Yep.
I'll talk to you about how things were different back when I was a kid, and somehow I just transitioned to a different reality. Although the Pringles guy has either always had or not had a monocle. I don't remember which one the right way is. I can actually picture both in my mind right now.
I sent Michael a meme today that had Captain Janeway with a little thing. I should have stayed in the Delta Quadrant.
Yeah, for those that know, the actor that plays Captain Janeway is also in another show, Orange is the New Black, so she has a mugshot from that. it's very funny. But
well, Dr. Mike has said sure.
So all right,
we'll
twisted
set
his arm.
Something up with Dr. Mike and look forward to that.
Yeah, looking forward to it. So, well, that brings it into our evening. I think it's been a great discussion. And I think, you know, the idea when you say it that, you know, we are what we think, you know, what we let in shapes a huge part of our personality and identity. But, you know, I love to really engage in the facets and the nuance of this, and I could have no better person to talk with it about than you, Dr. Vicky, so I appreciate that.
Thank you, Michael. That goes ditto.
Thank you. So well, I guess before we wrap up, any last thoughts, Dr. Vicky?
No, I just kind of started saying don't let them push you around out there.
I'm telling you. Oh, I think we have enough time in the outro music for this. You know, this funny meme has been going around, and yeah, I can't remember exactly how it goes. I'm going to paraphrase heavily here, but it's a, you know, it's a kid and talking about how his you know, grandpa or his mom or somebody, you know, said, you might not, you know, fight a lot, but when you do need to fight or something like that, or somebody pushes you around or somebody bullies you, you got to fight like you're the third animal, you know, trying to make it onto the ark. And then, boy, it's starting to rain, you know. But so I always thought that was funny. So, you know, fight back against the bullies. Don't let them win.
Yeah, just stay cool, people.
Just
take a breath and, you know, you're in traffic, reroute yourself. I was at the shopping center today and I had to get some groceries and it was so crazy. I said, no, I don't need to go here. I went home. Yeah, that's another day.
wise decision. Well, thank you so much, everyone. Appreciate you joining us tonight. And until next week, listen, think, learn, grow, and live. Good night, everyone.
Good night, everybody.